I titled my sermon this morning that it's not good English. I'm aware it's not good English. It ain't good English. I know that. But I titled it, There Ain't No Baby in the Manger.
Amen.
And at this time every year, we get preachers all gathering together and they're preparing their Christmas sermon. And they'll go back into their study where it's nice and quiet, not any interruptions. And they go to the computer, they type in Christmas sermon at their sermon site, and there it is. Then they kick back, take a nap, and come out 6 hours later. Dear, I got that finally knocked out. maybe it's not always that bad. But anyway, preachers around the country preparing their Christmas sermons, and they read the Christmas story to the churchgoers and to the small children or in Sunday school, and perhaps you might even see a movie on TV with a Christmas movie. There's a new one out called The Nativity. I haven't seen it. I've been told it's a very good movie, but I've also been told that all the characters are portrayed as obviously swarthy Jews. I don't know if that's true or not. I was just told that. So anyway, and then we all see the story about Joseph and Mary and the camel, or not the camel, the donkey. And they're going to the inn, and the inn doesn't have provisions for them, and so they can't go into the inn. And and from this, every year we celebrate what we call Christmas. And I know we discussed this a little bit last night. Ralph talked about it some in his message, but I'm going to mention it again. We are told, and it's no doubt true, that Christ was not born on December 25. And so because of that, there are some people, some element of people, who say, all right, you shouldn't celebrate Christmas. It's a no-no. It's a bad thing to do because Christmas is not the birth of Jesus Christ, we're told. And so they tell us that it is really the birthday of Nimrod. Nimrod, the arch enemy of Jesus Christ, was born on December 25, and therefore we are honoring Nimrod, we are told, when we actually celebrate Christmas. We're actually paying homage to Nimrod. I've got a couple of quotes here from different people who profess this, I thought. One is, God is very clear in his directives against the celebration of this pagan holiday that Christians now universally celebrate as Christmas. God calls this an abomination. Christians celebrate December 25th blindly believing they are honoring the King of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, when they are in reality honoring a pagan God. That's what one person said. Another one said, December 25 was the birthday of Nimrod. This is the real origin of the Christmas tree. Through his scheming and designing mother, who became the queen of heaven, and Nimrod, under various names, became the divine son of heaven. Through the generations in this idolatrous worship, Nimrod also became the false Messiah, son of Baal, the sun god. In this false Babylonian system, the mother and child, referring to Nimrod and his mother, who supposedly got married, became the chief object of worship, the worship of mother and child, or the Madonna and child. We all here know about mother, the child and Madonna. Anyway, and then the third one is, if we are going to celebrate the birthday of Jesus, December 25 is the very worst time to do it. The reason is that we are not celebrating the birthday of the real Jesus of Nazareth at all, but the birthday of Nimrod and all the other reincarnations of the child god of the Babylonian religious system, including the baby Jesus, who's held in the arms of the Roman Catholic Madonna. So we're told by these three sites, and there's others who say, we should not celebrate Christmas because if you celebrate Christmas, you're, in a sense, worshiping Nimrod. You should not sing Christmas carols because if you do, you are worshiping Nimrod. You should not put up Christmas decorations because if you do, you're worshiping, honoring Nimrod. And you don't give presents to anybody because you're honoring Nimrod. Don't do any holiday traditions because December 25 is not the birthday of Jesus, and therefore you are honoring Nimrod. Well, they say don't give Nimrod any honor, don't give him any respect, so don't celebrate that day. Well, I kind of look at it a little bit differently. we want to pay tribute to Jesus Christ. And what better way? If I say, okay, we're not going to do any of these things, what are we really saying? We're saying, in a sense, okay, Nimrod, this is your day. By pulling back, we are then in reality confessing that that day belongs to the arch enemy of Christ. Well, being a propagandist I am, I say, well, what better way to sock it to the enemy than to say, we're going to take your day and honor our God with it. We're not going to give you any day. We're going to honor the birth of Jesus Christ. So now I want to get back to this, and I just want to throw that in there. There ain't no baby in the manger. And we all know the Christmas story. We've all heard it from little up. We read the stories, we've seen the TV specials, and we've all been told about the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is about love and peace and helping to feed the poor and giving money to a homeless shelter. It's about peace on earth, about the baby Jesus, gathering together a family all around you, around the Christmas tree, sharing their love, loving our neighbor. It's about being kind, we're told, and loving to people, giving a gift to charity. We're told this was Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas is all about. Or the classic deal about the after a frantic and hectic day, the adults running about, scurrying about in all their meaningless pursuits. At the end of the day, you see mom and dad standing at the side of a little bed, a little crib, or a little child. And a camera moves in real close, and you see the little child sitting there, the innocent little child, dreaming about Christmas. And then we're told that's the true meaning of Christmas. To which I say, bah, humbug. That's not a foolishness. Those things have nothing to do with Christmas. They're all nice. I'm not saying I'm against any of those things. Don't get me wrong. I like that stuff. You know, I like decorating the Christmas tree, and I like listening to Christmas music, and I like hanging a wreath on the door and looking at Christmas lights. And I love having my family, more than anything else, having my family all gathered around. And I love watching little children get them all excited about Christmas. And I love the tinsel and the decorations and the Christmas turkey and the music. And I love to see children all nestled, all snug in their beds with visions of sugar plums dancing in their head. Yeah, and I'm confident you love those things too. But don't confuse those things with Christmas. Those things are not anything about Christmas. Those are just nice things. But it's not the meaning of Christmas. Now, let me illustrate, okay? There's a movie came out years ago called Big Jake. You ever see the movie? Now, some of the younger people may not have seen it because now it's an old movie. Yeah. Big Jake, starring big old John Wayne, okay? And my wife likes John Wayne. So big old John Wayne, and hold here Big Jake. And John Wayne plays this part of Jacob Akandos. And Jacob Akandos is an aging cowboy in the West. And the West is changing now. And his grandson is kidnapped by a vicious outlaw played by the part of Richard Boone, who plays the name of John Fane. And John Fane is a wicked outlaw. He kidnaps John Wayne's grandson, and John Wayne's ex-wife, played by the part of Maureen O'Hara, enlists, calls for John Wayne to come rescue her grandson. So now we watch the movie as he begins this journey, an hour and a half long. And an hour and a half later, through a bloody gunfight, the boy is rescued. Now, do you think forever and ever and ever that little boy could be praising the day that John Wayne rode on the horseback, you know, and said, okay, where's the boy at? Or do you think he's going to be telling forever, he's going to be telling about the bloody gunfight and the rescue of his grandpa riding in there fighting off the bad guys, shooting them dead, bang, 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 falling like flies, you know, and swooping in there, rescuing them up in his arm and saving his life. What was the story of Big Jake? Was it John Wayne riding in and saying, he got kidnapped? Oh, we'll go get him? A la the birth of Jesus Christ? Or was it the bloody gunfight? The bloody battle. The rescue of the grandson. Well, that's what I see. I see the rescue of the grandson being the important thing. Not the fact that he rode in a horse and said, my son, grandson got kidnapped. That had to happen. But the great thing was he got rescued. And it was a bloody gunfight. And it was a bloody battle. And so that's the meaning of Christmas. It's not the birth. It's the bloody gunfight. Satan's in rebellion. We talked about that yesterday. I'm going to read it again. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I'll sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, I'm going to sidetrack. I'm going to throw out something here just as a little extra. I personally believe, and I would never argue the point with anybody if they want to see it differently, but I believe that when it makes this statement here, I'll exalt my throne into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's referring to America. If you look at a globe, you look at a globe of the world, what great, great nation of end time prophecy sits on the sides of the north? It's America. And we all know, or maybe you don't know, but you know, America literally in the old Teutonic means the kingdom of heaven. We even have those that make reference to in that song, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. What nation is the joy of the whole earth? It's America. That's why they're coming across our borders. Yeah. You know? Amen. So Satan is in rebellion. Why? Not because he wants to be worshipped. That's what we're always told. He don't care about being worshipped. He's not interested in idle vain worship. He wants to be the lawgiver. And that's why laws are being changed and ought to be altered as we're stripping the laws of God and setting up Talmudic laws in its place. So I know someone's going to tell you, well, the Christmas story is really about the cross. Well, that's part of it. No question about it. But that's not the end of the story. Let me read from Luke 1:68. This is the Christmas story according to Zacharias, okay? In Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Not the Lord God of the Africans, not the Lord God of China, not the Lord God of the Philippines, not the Lord God of somebody else, the Lord God of Israel. Over 200 times in the Bible, the makes reference says, he's the mighty God of Israel. Nowhere does he say he's the mighty God of Africa, of Negroes, of Chinamen, of Japanese, or anyone else. But 200 times he said, I am the Lord God, the mighty God of Israel. Amen. That doesn't even count the other times where he says, I'm the father of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his people. God is very selective. Yeah. I don't know how people can read these and not see this. It baffles my mind. And it raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of all his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, the bloody gun battle, that's what the Christmas story is all about, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. That's what I believe Romans said, that Christ came to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, Genesis 17, the covenant God made with Abraham, and the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, we had It does say that, so in case you think I'll jump into conclusions, it does say the Holy Covenant, the covenant I swear to Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. The whole Christmas story has nothing to do about the birth. All that's important. We all like all that stuff, and we're thankful that occurred, but at the end of the story, that manger is empty just like the cross is empty.
Amen.
And so something happened after that, and something's going to happen. The bloody gun battle is going to go on. But, you know, and we're hated. We're hated when if we try to look upon, are you aware that there's some people that hate us? You know, they hate Jesus, don't they? And what did he say? If the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you.
Amen.
Didn't Christ say that? Wait, nobody likes me. People say, I'm being persecuted. I hear people say that sometimes. I'm being persecuted. You're not being persecuted. It's a war. You know, the enemy is persecuted. He's just trying to kill you. That's all.
Amen.
You know, it had nothing to persecute. If you jump into a boxing ring, you know, and you're fighting and the guy hits you, you're not being persecuted. You just got hit. That's all. Because you're the opposing force, you know. So the enemy's not persecuting you. He's trying to kill you, you know, because you're on the opposite side. But, you know, so anyway. But, you know, we read in Acts that the apostles rejoiced that they were kind of worthy to suffer in the name of Jesus. So if we were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. They have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Listen, we're not radical enough. It only took Jesus 3 years to get killed. You know, we're not courageous enough. I mean, we're not, just face it. We don't have that communication. I mean, if it did, we'd be killed 3 years too, I suppose. You know, so anyway, but that's what they want to do. I'm going to read here from a book, Ben Hitch. Anybody hear of Ben Hitch? Ben Hitch, at one time, was a notarized, is that right? A notary? Notarized. Well, you put in the word. And famous. Fan of notoriety. Okay. Because he wrote a lot of Hollywood screenplays and theatrical productions. And there is even today still the Ben Hitch Award. And it's an honorary award. And Cal Thomas, the great Christian conservatives, was thankfully received the Ben Hitch Award recently. The great Cal Thomas, a great Christian conservative. Well, what did Ben Hitch say? Well, now, kind of like that deal we read yesterday, Rachel read yesterday about that one Jew, one thing he said in public, the other thing he said in private. You know, well, the old Ben Hitch. He's, what he says in private is not what he says publicly. So here's what he said in private, okay? This is in dialogue in this book he wrote. Let me see. One of the finest things ever done by the mob was the crucifixion of Christ. Intellectually, it was a splendid gesture. But trust the mob to Bungo. If I had been in charge of executing Christ, I would have handled it differently. You see, what I would have done was had him shipped to Rome and fed to the lions. They couldn't have never made a savior out of mincemeat. I would do the same thing to the radicals today. That's what they want to do to you. We're in a war. These silly churches out here, they don't understand that. They think Satan going around asking him to smoke a cigarette or something like that, you know. We're in a war, a real war. And somebody's trying to kill you, kill your heritage, kill your children, kill our faith. They want to eradicate the gospel of Christ out of our hearts, out of our minds, out of our consciousness, out of our nation, and totally Judaize us. Because that's the rebellion. And a rebellion always tried to destroy those in power. And Satan knows Christ is in power. He knows he's in power. And they think they're going to win. I personally believe they actually think they're going to win. And that's why they tried to kill Jesus. And that is why they were so aghast at his crucifixion. And they think someday they're going to win. Well, anyway. The Christmas story, according to Daniel 2:44, And in the days of these kings, referring to the kings of the nations, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people? Negroes? Chinese? Other races? Why? The kingdom of God belongs to Israel. You don't believe me? Turn to Exodus 19. God established the kingdom of God right there at the foot of Mount Sinai when he called Israel together and he formed them into a kingdom. And centuries later, Christ was born proclaiming what? The gospel of the kingdom. The power, his nation, his people, his race, his covenant. And he's going to secure their deliverance from who? From the rebellion. The bloody gunfight. The Christmas story according to Revelation 6:15, 1-7. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens of the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Jesus Christ is not going to be going around to all these churches and singing lollipop songs.
Amen.
And I know that, all that stuff, the true meaning of Christmas is not peace and brotherhood. Jesus said, I've come to bring a sword. That's what he said. Deliverance.
Hallelujah.
So, here's my idea. Here's the Christmas story I like. I like all those. This one is in Isaiah 63. Remember John Wayne now, okay, in the story, an hour and a half, he rescues his son, or grandson. He's thankful. How do you think John Wayne looked? Probably pretty battered, didn't he? You know? Looked pretty battered after a gunfight. He had to ride no matter how many hundreds of miles and how many things he had to do in an hour and a half. I don't know if he was on speed or what, but he was in a hustle. He had an hour and a half to get this thing done with. So there it is, you know. He was battled after a war. So Isaiah 63, here's the Christmas story that ought to be sung and talked about in the churches. Who is this that comes from Edom? Edom referring to the Edomite, Canaanite Jews that now rule our nation and rule our affairs and rule our politics, rule our health, rule over our health industry, rule over our entertainment industry, rule over our political industry, rule over our nation. Not in complete power. If they were in complete power, we wouldn't be here. But they're pushing their power forward. Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments? That from Boaz, that this that is glorious in his apparel, glorious in his apparel, traveling the greatness of his strength. He didn't need any help. By his own arm, he delivers Israel. By his own strength, he comes back from this battlefield in glorious apparel, but when you read it, it doesn't seem too glorious to us. But it's a glorious apparel in his own strength, in his own power, in his own might, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, is the reply. Wherefore art thou red? The question is asked. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? And the answer comes back. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there is none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood will be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. His glorious apparel, his apparel soaked in the blood of his enemies.
Amen.
Just like John Wayne. You think when John Wayne come across there to rescue his son, do you think that was the best sight he ever saw? That little boy. He didn't care. John Wayne, dirty, filthy, probably stunk. You know, ragged and worn out, probably scratches. Who knows what he looked like after that ride to get there to rescue his grandson in the battle and the turmoil and to bring about this rescue. But that was the most glorious thing that little boy saw. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there is none with me. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood will be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my garments. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. The redeemed of Israel, your time has come. Deliverance. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there is none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation, Christ says, unto me. And my fury, it upheld me. I always thought, I'd like to see an artist draw a picture of a really angry, angry angel. And then a really nice, peaceful-looking angel with the question, which is the angel of God? And I always assume that most people are probably going to pick the nice, sweet-looking angel. Love. But in my old mind, the angel would be the one that's angry and mad and bringing judgment upon the nation. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I'll bring down their strength to the earth. And then the praise is given. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. We're delivered. What made John Wayne go to rescue his son? It was his loving kindness. What made Jesus Christ come, be born in a humble manger, and live a life and be tempted, be hated and scorned, brutally beaten? They hate Jesus Christ so much that even Mel Gibson couldn't even make a movie about it. And they've turned their hatred against Mel Gibson and against anybody who lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And then to the cross and to the resurrection. It was his loving kindness. This is the bloody gun battle. This is the defeat of the rebellion of Satan. This is our deliverance. This is the story of Christmas. Isaiah 65, 13, 14 says, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart and howl for vexation of spirit. My vision of Jesus Christ is not a babe in a manger. He ain't there no more. My vision of Jesus Christ is the coming, glorious, conquering King, bringing vengeance upon his enemies and delivering Israel. He's not a perpetual baby in a manger. The nativity scene, as much as we like it, and I don't want to disrespect it at all, because that event of his birth. But I glory in the rebellion being conquered.
Amen.
I glory in his victory.
Hallelujah.
That's my idea of Christmas, a bloody mess. Jesus, with his sword held high, standing over the bodies of his enemies, covered with blood, proclaiming victory. Amen. And at that time, we're told by the Apostle Paul, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord.
Amen.
Ben Hitch, he's going to have to bow before Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't know what's going to happen to him, but that's not my job. I just know that Ben Hitch is going to have to bow before Jesus and confess that he is Lord God of Israel. And all these other silly people, Washington, Joseph Stalin is going to bow. And Martin Luther King is going to bow to the authority of Jesus Christ and the authority of God's people Israel. And Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Daniel Spielberg and Ariel Sharon and Menachem Begin and George Bush and Bill Clinton and Rod Parsley and Jack Van Impe and every one of these people that fight against the people of God, Israel, our people, our race, if I can say that, Israel, the race of God, all these people who fight today against the people of God, Israel, are all going to bow before Jesus Christ and confess that he, Jesus, is the mighty God of Israel. That's my Christmas story. And with that, I would like Steve come up and he's going to sing How Great Thou Art.